Bino, Freddie called you out. I mean, just between me and you. And I don't know what that means. I don't know if you guys have heat.
No, Tony, but I'm sure that you could drum some up somehow.
Not my style, man. I'm a uniter, not a divider.
Yes.
I am a uniter, not a divider.
I apologize for falling off, guys. My wife's on the road coming home, and I had to try to help
hey,
out.
It's very, very much more, very much more important than that. Let's go back to the phone.
Ah, you don't have to say that, Tony. She's not in listening range.
God, Bino. 865-200-5402. A young man just tweeted us. You want to talk about some serious dedication, Bino? He just walked that aisle, to quote the great Ric Flair, except he just got married, and he was tweeting us to find out how the show's going tonight.
Excellent.
And saying how sorry he is about that whole deal.
What, getting married? Yeah. You think you're sorry now?
So proud of Josh Dobbs, man. Let's go back to our phones. 865-200-5402. Seth Davis says 75% of the crowd is from Mexico tonight. Dobbsy, thoughts?
75%?
Yep.
That's an improvement on what it used to be.
It's about the breakdown of what the Hispanic population is out there in Southern California.
How many Osama chants and American players spit on have we had?
Let's
so far?
Go back to the phones and get our next
about
call.
That's a great turnout by Americans on a real football night. Hey, Tony.
Yes, welcome in. Let's get our next caller in here.
Hey, Tony. It's Don.
Hey, Don.
Hey, guys. Good to get to enjoy the night. I talked to my grandson. He went to the game. Sit on first row back right the south end zone, I guess. So he got to meet Chubb's parents tonight. Got to high-five Jalen Reeves Maben, but the big thing was I called and asked him if they were about home. He said, no, we haven't got out of the parking lot. And
wow.
After the game.
Wow.
He said they didn't leave the stadium for way after the game. They stayed and celebrated. So.
That's great. I wouldn't leave either.
The greatest game of his life, he said.
Isn't that great, Don? You got to have one to keep you coming back. That's how you build your fan base. You give them moments like this.
Absolutely. I tell you, I've just been kind of resigned to defeatism the last few weeks, and I was watching it early, and I tell you, when they picked that flag up, I said, they'd already kind of messed over us down there on an obvious pass interference on Jennings that they didn't call. We had to kick a field goal. But our guys have got to learn that no matter what, on the way to the end zone, they have to get one more foot.
Bino,
your defense line is not good to us.
No. It is not good to. You get on the 6-inch line, and we're one of the few schools where you hold your breath.
Oh, yeah. Figuring they're going to, at best, we're going to lose 2-3 yards on first down, which if there hadn't been a fumble, that's exactly what it would have been. But heck, I didn't wait for the punt. I'll be honest with you. When they went 96, I said, the game's over. I really felt it. I thought, when you have first and go, not fourth and go, but first and go from 6 inches, and you pull that stunt, I thought you had a perfect, or somebody there, thing earlier. If you're not going to get that quarterback under center, and we do it anyhow, put Jennings or Hurd back there and snap the ball to him. It's not hard.
Yeah, if you're going to have a deep snap anyway, there's absolutely no reason to make an exchange.
No. No.
I tell you what, guys, I have more problem with this on the goal line than I do because I know what this offense is, and I know they're not going to change it. We forget how to. Why do you run one player in there? Why do you run Alex Ellis in there, make one substitution, and allows the defense to make a substitution?
Absolutely.
Do not have one player in there.
slows down. I mean, they're running, they're in a hurry all the time. You know, of course, what killed us there on that was we were so close to the go that that's a great time for them to call a timeout to review and let Georgia get set up in the defense where if they just run up over the line, they'll probably just snap it and score. It just seems like none of the timing. And by the way, right before halftime, you know, it was like 19 seconds and we got three timeouts and they call that little holding penalty on them and then run 10 seconds off the clock. I thought, are they doing this to make sure we don't force them to punt? I mean, that's how snake bit, I feel like.
Well, you know what? And how about in the middle of all that whole thing, the block in the back they didn't call, which is an absurd. They pick a flag up. As Bino said, you get the most over-officious, or Freddie said it, the most over-officious league in the whole worldwide country. That's when they decide not to make a call, when it actually happened. And then the next possession, Josh Dobbs, and Tennessee ended up converting and scoring a touchdown, but he got hit in the head! He got hit in the head with a flying lineman who was caught out of position, and he grabbed for anything he could grab, and a blow to the head, any blow to the head, is supposed to be an automatic 15-yard penalty, plus you're supposed to review it and determine if whether or not he did it purposefully. They did neither on the play. They ignored it, Don, as if it didn't happen.
Absolutely.
Guys, what was the explanation for... I've never seen a flag thrown for a block in the back and picked up.
The explanation was the official said they determined the block was from the middle, not from behind.
Yeah, from the side. From the side.
From the side. I'm sorry, not from the middle.
Who
from the side.
Determined it?
The officials
obviously
on the field.
Who
overruled it?
Yeah, the crew on the field. The crew on the field determined it, Bino.
Oh, well, that's...
And as you say in the replay, and I've heard, like on a couple of Kamars that got brought back, one of which was a clear in, I think it was the Western Carolina game, his first one, was clearly a block into the shoulder pad side to side in which the guy went sideways. Mm-hmm. And then tonight, you know, they always say if you fall backwards or sideways, they won't, you know, they don't call it, but if you fall forward, they do. Not only did he hit our guy directly between the numbers in the back, the guy buried his face forward into the ground. So what happened to that unwritten rule or whatever you want to call it? I mean, that had to be intentional. I mean, somebody on that crew had to intentionally made a bad, you know, overrule a call on the field. You know, we don't get no overrules on, you know, the pass catch in the end zone that wasn't and all that. No. We can't overrule that, but boy, we can overrule that. I got a feeling old Rocky might have a few questions to answer Monday night, but...
No question. Monday night, you know, old Rocky.
Yeah, and he'll always have some way...
He's a sheep. Sheep him up for him.
Oh.
And he'll tell you the Alamo Matthews call was... What's the point in having that segment if he's not going to be honest?
Oh, yeah, I remember right after that game, listening to him, and they said, and Jimmy Himes asked him, said, if the same play happens at midfield, is it a complete pass? And he said no.
Hey, what time is that segment, Don?
6 o'clock every Monday.
Good, that's when I'll watch soccer.
You know, guys, I'm so happy, you know, I can't hardly see straight, but I guess Florida Dobbs runs wild, right? We got every opportunity to win. Tonight,
every
Dobbs,
time, yep.
Dobbs runs wild and we do win. Can somebody explain me 7 runs last week and almost every one of them was when he got flushed out of the pocket and they weren't runs to begin with?
Because he was hurting after the Florida game. He's not superhuman, man.
That's
6 days later. They had to give his body a chance to rest. Nobody can take that kind of physical pounding. Nobody. Superman couldn't take that kind of physical pounding with the cape on.
Made it through the first half of the season without missing any playing time. That's amazing.
That cat is tough. Because I'm going to tell you something. He's taking some head-on shots, man.
Good time,
you know,
for an off week.
He threw for 60% more yards than he's threw for the whole year tonight.
Yes, he did.
Guys, I absolutely love Josh Dobbs. He's everything.
Thank you, Donnie.
Everything that there is to cheer for in college football. But games when he can't run the ball, he shouldn't be in there.
I agree.
Well, Beano, that's not fair. I mean,
I don't care if it's fair or not, Donnie.
Fair? This is D1 college football. Quote Dan Hawkins, you got to win a game,
okay,
man.
To you two guys, and I don't mean this in a bad way, but if you two geniuses, what would you do?
if he's too banged up to the point where he can't run, you play Dorman.
No, you do not.
Absolutely.
You're going to throw that freshman out there against Arkansas last week and just
sure.
Take a beating?
As opposed to what? What you saw?
Did you guys watch the same game I saw?
Yeah, they got their asses kicked. They were lucky it was 24-20. You put Dormady in there, and when Dobbs gets healthy and he's ready to go, then you give him his job back.
What if you put Dormady out there?
Chance to win.
What if you put Dormady out there and he balls out, and then this kid loses his job?
You play like the NFL, and these guys who get injured and then they don't get their jobs back. Guess what? This is big boy football. You play whoever gives you the best chance to win the game. Period.
Let me read you, guys, something. I want to read you something here, and then we'll go back to the phones. And, Beano, I'm going to grab Jerry Colquitt here momentarily, but I want to get your thoughts on this. I am a long time. This is from a gentleman by the name of Joey P. Joey P., thank you for this, by the way. He went home and composed a very thoughtful email when he got home. Joey, thank you. He writes, I'm a longtime diehard Tennessee fan. I was offered two tickets to the Tennessee-Georgia game by my boss friend late in the work week. Unfortunately, I was present in Gainesville to see us blow that lead and in that way and to that team, and that was sickening. And after watching Butch blow a lead against Oklahoma et al., I was emotionally spent and not sure I wanted to invest my time and energy to see the Vols in person. Easier to watch at home, turn off the TV, and we blow it and spend my time occupied with my kids. Luckily, my 7-year-old son wanted to go. I still wavered, but thinking back to all the time I spent with my dad bonding over UT sports, I decided to take him. I'll get to spend some quality time with him, etc. I did have reservations about going, but getting my son emotionally invested in the Vols, but oh well. And boy, am I glad we went. He screamed his head off the whole game and never gave up. He was ecstatic when we won, and the time we spent together was priceless. Having been through what we and I've been through as UT fans, I got quite emotional after the game. I got to tell you, I was on the verge of tears. While we were walking out, I realized I didn't have a souvenir for my son to remember the game by. We passed a lady who was holding a large stack of plastic cups. I pulled out what little money I had and ready to offer her what I had to buy a cup for my son. I offered her my money, but she wouldn't take it. She gladly gave my son a cup with a smile. After a few more steps, she came back and gave us another cup, and she said to my son, "This is for your dad." She said at that point, Joey writes, at that point, tears came out of my eyes.
Wow.
You know, he said, I know it's only football. He said, except it's not. It's so much more. And if someone can't figure that out, I don't know what to tell them. It was a glorious, cathartic night in so many ways. Of course, me and my son ended our night by listening to the fifth quarter on the way home. Thanks for all you do.
And then the real tears
Joey
started.
Joey P. How great's that story, guys?
It's beautiful.
It's what this is about, y'all. That's what this is about.
And yet another reason it's such a big win. If you lose, I'm afraid apathy really starts to set in.
Oh, it would have been brutal. I'm up here with Laura. You know, we own our own business, Dobbs. I'm not like you. I mean, I'm out of my own, 100%. Seriously. She looks at me and she says, this is going to kill our business. People think, it's funny how people see what we do. And Beano encounters these folks who knows that he knows me. And they're like, man, Tony loves all this controversy. And Beano's like, no, Tony likes it when we win.
Sure.
You like it when we win, right?
Yeah. I mean, listen, man, I do advertising sales too, and it's been hard to get up and go and make some of the calls I need to make the past couple of weeks too. And
it's unbelievable.
Apathy is not good for business or for the soul, for the mind, anything.
All sang. So nice finally seeing the score ticker at the bottom of the screen on ESPN.
Yes.
Showing a W over a ranked team. Bino, I'd like your thoughts on that story I just shared, and then I want to get a final thought from you.
Well, Tony, that's a beautiful thing. That's what Tennessee football has always been to me. You know, growing up in this area, never really been anywhere else. It's been a connector for my family when we were apart from each other for as long as I can remember. You know, when you're sitting in that stadium, you get frustrated, but it's the connection. It's your dad that you watched all the games with that's no longer here. It's your older brother who took you to first game who's no longer here. It's the time that you spent together just talking about it. It's a wonderful unifier for family and friends. I see people at football games that's about the only time I get to see them, guys I grew up with. So it is a good thing, and it is more than what the score winds up being. And it means a lot to a lot of people.
Bino, wrap me up here, and then we'll get some more phone calls in. But I really thank you for being there, buddy.
Oh,
I appreciate
Tony,
your friendship,
thank you.
And thank you for
You're
filling wrestling. In for me. Thank you for filling in for me yesterday, man. I felt so horrible.
No, I'm glad that hope you're feeling better, Tony. You sound a lot better, and that's good. I'm glad you're on here driving the train tonight. Tonight was just a really, really good win. It was a season saver. I can't speak for anyone else, but it kept alive everything that I hoped to see in this season. It kept alive the chance to win 8 football games. It was a win over a ranked opponent. It kept alive an opportunity to lose 2 or less football games at home, and it kept alive an opportunity to stop a couple of ugly streaks that are going the wrong way for us in the Southeastern Conference. So put a lot of things back on the table. It's not the magic eraser. But it put a lot of things back on the table. Just a good win. Excellent win. Nice to have a positive post game and enjoy games at night after your team has a big win. So
what a concept.
Good. Yeah.
Thank
Guys,
you, Bino.
I enjoyed it. Thanks a bunch.
See you, Bino.
Go Vols, brother. Back to the phones we go. If you want to get in, 865-200-5402. Keep getting asked on Twitter why it wasn't a runoff at the end. Fans are really confused about that. But bottom line is, Dubsy, when the clock isn't running, it's a dead ball.
I can't remember what the play before was, but the officials and or the announcers on CBS basically said that the clock wasn't going to be running anyway. Like, Georgia wasn't hurrying. There was an incomplete pass, or the ball had gone out of bounds the play before, so the clock was stopped. If it had been a situation where they're, you know, trying to hurry up and spike it because the clock is running, then, yeah, it would have been the Dooley rule. They would have run off 10 seconds and the game would have been over. But the clock was stopped.
J.M.'s pop owned Ramsey's back in the day, the staple down in the UT area, and then also out on Merchant. He said, Dad said today during the game this area needed this win, said it made a difference in business back in the day when he owned the restaurant. There's just no doubt about that. There is just absolutely, people don't understand this. People spend money when they feel good, period. And we deserve to win this game tonight, damn it. That's just it. I'm at that Fish Hospitality Pantry tailgate. And there are hundreds of people there, and there are a bunch of people coming up, and I shook hands with and hugged a ton of people and tried to stay away from a lot of people, but I'm just so freaking huggable. And I gotta tell you, man, that, and woman, that I just felt this game coming. Cause it's college football. That's why Tennessee won today. It's just college football. It's great. That's why we love it.
But for you business owners out there thinking about whether or not to advertise, I can tell you that
Dubsy. Go ahead.
When people look at ratings and the days after, for my show, what we do, the days after the big losses, the loss to Oklahoma, the Florida loss to Arkansas, it's crazy. The listener numbers. And I know from people who do TV shows here in the market and can see the day after ratings in real time that after a big meltdown loss,
people love hearing people
the
bitch.
Ratings are sky high.
People love hearing people bitch. We had
don't think your dollar isn't well spent.
Oh no! Last week we had all time high numbers here.
Oh yeah.
But I think we'll have great numbers tonight.
Well, the Florida game when we were on. I mean, well, we were on to like 2
6
in the morning,
hours.
And we could have been. It could have been 8 or 9. I mean,
yeah.
It's crazy.
865-200-5402. Big Orange Butch writes, "That's the loudest I've ever heard Neyland Stadium, and I've been to some loud games."
Wow.
Let's go back to the phones. 865-200-5402.
Fans have been so awesome this year, man. The atmosphere, every
incredible.
Home game at Neyland Stadium, even freaking Western Carolina
incredible.
Was a sellout.
102,000.
It's loud. It's rocking.
Yeah.
Huge.
And it wasn't a Lady Vaw padded number either. I mean, the freaking place was full, which is incredible.
Packed.
It's one thing to have 86,000. 85 and announce 102.
Yeah.
Like, people do that. I don't blame people for doing it. But that thing was full.
I'll tell you what was weird. Did you see the LSU South Carolina game to half empty stand? I know extenuating circumstances, obviously, but it was just strange.
And I saw South Carolina's defense, and boy, they can't tackle at all. They're going to have a long day against us.
Well, that's a game you better win if you're Butch Jones.
Let's go back to our phones, Gary. Next call in here. Hello and welcome.
What's going on, guys?
Hey.
It's T-Car.
Hey, man. Welcome in.
Hey, man. Hey, Dubsy. What you up to, buddy?
Not much, man. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing fantastic.
Cool.
It's so nice to finally get a win. Finally get, man, we talked about on your show, Dubsy, you know, a win kind of puts that salve on that wound that has been the past couple of games here in Tennessee. And it does. It feels nice. Now, I'm kind of like you, Tony. I definitely am not going to coach worship. There's a lot of things about the coaching tonight that, you said it best, kind of, they got away with. I still think they played really tight in the first half until they got down 24-3. And then it's such a different ball game. It's such a different, coaching job. They were throwing plays or throwing across the middle. They're calling plays that I haven't seen them call. They were doing things that I didn't see them do. It's totally different when they really don't have a whole lot to lose. You know, they say, oh, okay, we're down 24-3. Guess we better pull some things out of our rear, and they do. So I would like to see them coach a lot looser here in the future against Alabama. You gotta turn Dobbs loose, kind of like what you said, Dubs. You gotta let him run. You've got to let Hurd run between the tackles and Kamara run outside the tackles. I really don't like seeing Hurd running wide for a minus 3 yards. How many wasted plays did we see tonight of that, Tony?
Well, you know what? You made so many great points. I don't know where to begin. I'll tell you this. I don't know how different the game becomes if it's a 7-point game instead of 21. Because, you know, Georgia goes up, they give a couple non-offensive touchdowns, and then all of a sudden it becomes a completely different game. Tennessee's forced to go for it on fourth down there. They kind of let it all hang out, and then they throw the kitchen sink at them. And then from there it's a completely different game. And your point is a great one, which is, where is that in your first 20 scripted plays?
I'm right there. Where is that? Where is that in the Oklahoma game? Where is that in the Florida game? I mean, I've never seen some of these plays.
And
the
to your point,
touchdown plays tonight.
Well, how about this?
Where were they on third or fourth down? You know, when you needed them in the Florida game, and the Oklahoma game. Where were those plays?
How about this, Russell? Offense goes dormant in the Florida game until Florida hits that fluke play. They score a touchdown on. I mean, the receiver made a nice play in the quarterback. But what happened on Tennessee's defense was just inexcusable, and it was a fluke play, and their alignment, and rushing three, and the whole all that nonsense. Tennessee comes right down the field with a drive Now, granted, it took them forever. It was a minute and a half, but they ended up getting a field goal attempt out of it. But at least they looked like they had some life in their offense and were trying to hit them downfield, and they were able to make some plays. And one could say that's another example of that.
Where, that's the paradox of Butch Jones. Is
what is the paradox?
He runs, you know, this newfangled up-tempo spread, no-huddle offense. He fancies himself being on the cutting edge of football, the analytics and all this stuff. But he also embraces the conservative approach, punting, you know, kicking a field goal on fourth and goal from inside the one and all that stuff. And I would just say, listen, you know, if you want to run the kind of offense you're going to run, that's fine. But be that guy all the time. Be aggressive. Don't be conservative. Go for it. And if it bites you, it bites you. But just let it all hang out. And you can't straddle that line and run that offense but try and coach conservatively the way you did against Oklahoma and Florida. You got to do like you did today. Let it all hang out. 60 minutes. Press defensively, offensively. Go for it on fourth and down. Don't leave points on the field.
I 100% agree with you. We've got too many athletes at wide receiver for us to not give those guys the opportunity to catch the football downfield. I really think that Butch Jones just has to keep learning. I'm going to give credit where credit's due. I called your show and I said, I'm not liking what I'm seeing from Jones. I liked a little bit of what I saw. I felt like he learned. I felt like he played the clock better. Went for some things like we talked about before. Here's the thing too, though. We saw flashes of his conservatism when it came down to, you know, 3 minutes left. We saw the three straight runs. And it's kind of like you knew that was going to happen and you knew the defense was going to, you know, have to win the game for us. But we got lucky this time. Players played great. I mean, Hurd's the best running back I've seen in 10 years at University of Tennessee. He is. And you know what? Dobbs, if you put Dobbs as running back, I mean, he would be too. He made some man runs tonight. And I'm so proud of the way these players played. And I am proud of the way the coaches coached when they needed to. Thank you, guys. You have a good night.
Great phone call, man. Absolutely great phone call. T-Carp, thank you. 865-200-5402. Jerry Colquitt from his perch in FEMA Region number 10 checking in with us, former Vol quarterback, coach at Tennessee back in the 98 season as a grad assistant. Then he went to Ole Miss with David Cutcliffe, was there for a couple years. Then he went on to Seattle where he coached with Mike Holmgren, currently makes his residence in the greater Seattle area, also known as the greater Northwest. Jerry, the New World Order is very much hangs in the balance tonight with USA and Mexico playing soccer. I'm not going to ask you about that. Pull you up a drink of cold H2O out of your ProPure water filter. If you have any dried goods, you better pull them up because Dubsy and myself are in this for the long haul. If you have any Freedom Food, Jerry, I'd like to get your thoughts laid on me.
This was nice. You know, today is one of those things where, you know, if you watch some of the trends of Tennessee the last few weeks, to me, Tennessee plays their best football when they have momentum. And to me, I thought, you know, they really capitalized on some of the timely, costly errors of Georgia. And, hey, you know, when the time was right, they came out and made the plays, when they were allowed to get back in that game.
Jerry, I couldn't believe how well the two freshmen on the offensive line played. You know, from playing quarterback at a big time level, that is not easy to have two kids go out there like Chance Hall and Jack Jones and hold down the entire right side of an offensive line. And they got run behind. And they ran at them. It was beautiful, wasn't it?
Yeah. You know, I always say, especially especially in today's game where it's so much one back, so much shotgun, not a whole lot of two tight end personnel sets. You know, the one thing that guys were born to do was come off and hit somebody. So, to me, it's almost natural. It's like, hey, you get some of your veteran offensive linemen go down, run the football right to that side. Because, you know, those guys, they're probably freaking out having to worry about pass protection. You know, if they see a blitz look that's unfamiliar to them, that they haven't gotten a whole lot of reps against in practice, you know, it's those type of things that make them nervous. But I always have seen, just in my history, it, you know, the one thing that those guys can revert to is just coming off and hitting somebody in the mouth or in front of them. And I think that's what they gave them a chance to do. If you noticed, they weren't really put in a whole lot of awkward situations, pass rushing wise, coming into this game, just based on film study. The other thing too, I thought, that helped them today was that, you know, they, Georgia, the way that they played Leonard Floyd, they kind of play him in space as a linebacker. They didn't play him as much as a rusher on tape as I thought they would have, you know, like some of the McAllister guys or the Cox or was it, Oklahoma Striker. So to me, you know, they hit that thing just right in that they didn't have to worry about, playing against a dominant pass rusher. And also Tennessee took advantage of, what those young guys can do, and that is just come off and hit somebody right in front of them.
Jerry, what about Tony Robinson's nephew dropping that ball when he was wide open? It was such a long game. Games like that. That kid had an incredible game. I just think today was meant to happen, Jerry. Matchups aside, and all that stuff you guys like to get into, I think that game today just kind of looked meant to be.
Yeah, and the other thing too is, you know, it's always like this, hey, especially in the early part of a game, big rivalry, two interdivision schools playing one another. When it always seems like when one of the teams jumps out to an early lead, but that early lead hadn't necessarily been earned, kind of like Georgia had gotten early on there. And to me, it's like, you know, those 7 or 14 points almost don't count. You know, especially when there's been hardly any time run off the clock by Georgia. They hadn't had a whole lot of offensive plays. So, you know, it's almost like, hey, once Tennessee settles into it, and now you got a ball game again. So I thought if, as long as Tennessee didn't hand them, anything, I thought Tennessee, had a chance to work themselves back into that game eventually as the game progressed.
865-200-5402. It's just such a great win. Let's go back to the phones. It's just, winning a game like that every once in a while lets you know that you're either on the right track, or every once in a while there's a reason why we do this. And I think for Tennessee it might be both tonight. Let's go back to our phones. 865-200-5402. Let's get our next call in here. Hello and welcome.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Hey, who's this?
Hey. Jamie, we actually met at the Cavity tailgate for the Florida game.
Thank you, Jamie. Great, you came down there.
I talked to you about going to the Cubs game this week.
Oh man, that's great. You were in Chicago the other day.
You know, I was going to go to Chicago Monday morning. I was planning on leaving for Chicago. My dad calls me Monday because Wednesday was my birthday. My dad calls me Monday, tells me he has me tickets in Pittsburgh. So I cancel my hotel room Monday morning, leave Monday at like 1 o'clock, and go to Pittsburgh instead of Chicago with tickets. And it was funny that you guys were talking about apathy earlier, because apathy had officially set in for me. Like after the Arkansas game, I wasn't upset. Wasn't mad, you know, if apathy, and I was coming back for, we spent the whole week in Pittsburgh, and you were talking about your ratings. Thank God I didn't have to listen to Sports Talk Radio this week. I was in Pittsburgh, didn't have to deal with it, didn't even have to think about Tennessee football. I never thought I would ever not be in front of a TV or at the game for a Tennessee football game. My girlfriend asked me, she goes, do you want to pull over and like watch the Tennessee game? Like, no, I was like, I got an app for that. I was like, we'll listen to it on the way back. Well, at halftime, that was about the start of the Cubs game. It was about at halftime, you know, we've made this miraculous comeback. I was like, oh yeah, we're pulling over. We pull over in Lexington, Kentucky, and the Volcats were out in full force, the little sports bar we were watching it at. You know, they're all, Calipari sheeps, but they were all pulling for the Vols in this bar in Lexington, Kentucky. But the story of my game is that, you know, this is the biggest win since when? I mean, I totally agree that it was way bigger than any of the South Carolina games. So, I mean, you're probably going back to former or maybe South Carolina or, I mean, Georgia Kiffin's year. So here the game ends. I'm super excited, but I'm watching the Cubs game. They're up 6-3. But, I mean, if the Cubs lose this game, they're going to be down 2-0 and needing to win the next three games. So I had to suffer through the next three innings with, you know, the Cardinals magic, knowing if the Cubs lose this game, I mean, all is lost. Like, all the goodwill that's been up, you know, been built up with the Cubs win, I mean, with the Vols win, it's all out the window if the Cardinals come back. So I had to suffer through another, like, hour, at least three innings after this was all over, all in Lexington, Kentucky. It was a great week, great vacation. Got to see the, you know, Arrieta beat up on the Pirates on Wednesday. And then I pulled the double today.
Dubsy, do you have a thought? Thank you, sir, for the call. Dubsy, you have a thought on his phone call?
Tennessee just beat Georgia. What the hell are we talking about baseball for? I mean, talk about a sport, a relic. The Cubs? The Cubs? Did they even field a team this year? The Cubs? What is Andre Dawson still?
You can't rip that caller.
There?
He's feeling it. You can't rip that caller, Dubsy.
You let that go on for like 10 minutes.
Jerry.
This is College Football Saturday. First big win in about 3 years. We're talking about freaking baseball. Are you kidding me?
Jerry, you have a caller. You have a caller on that thought on that caller's phone call.
Or a caller on the thought. That would be good, too.
Man, I'm still waiting for the punchline on that one.
Freaking baseball, man. Horrible sport.
Of course.
Was he going to finish this story and tell us how his experience went today?
He probably can't. He was watching the Royals play or something.
He's so excited. He wanted to share it. By the way, small world. At the Fish Hospitality Pantry tailgate today, I talked to a guy that was actually at that Pirate game the other day. He's a really nice chap. It's really fun, Jerry. Our coaches did our coordinators did an okay job with that game, didn't they, Jerry? Or did they do a very good job? What do you think?
Yeah. To me, you know, the one thing that you can kind of see starting to happen is I feel like they are starting to, and I agree with, I think it was two callers ago, mm-hmm. I still think they waste a whole lot of the one-back sweep with Hurd. Mm-hmm. But I also feel like we are starting to see some more quick-hitting inside-the-tackle type of runs with Hurd. So by the number of reps that's happening in these games, to me that's a point of emphasis. So I'm giving that a check mark. Also, the other thing is, you know, whether you like it or not, you know, our passing game, sometimes I almost feel like just by the design of the plays, I feel like this is throwing a whole lot of guys open. But what I do like is I feel like our coordinator, especially if you go back to that Florida game, man, Josh Dobbs is a weapon. Whether or not you like his ability as a quarterback throwing it, this kid, he's like a third running back. He's as impressive as a runner as our top two running backs. So the fact that they're seeing that and that's playing itself out in these games, and he's actually a difference maker at it. To me, that's a smart thing. You know, if you're you're not getting as much out of your passing game, then why keep fooling around with that and just keep going to Dobbs on the run? I mean, hey, it is what it is. I mean, I like to see more out of him as a passer and just the design of the whole thing itself. That's a whole nother story. But forget all that for right now. You know, if it means Josh Dobbs going out there and running that rock to get you a victory along with Jalen Hurd and Kamara, Alvin Kamara, I mean, why not do it? So, to me, that's what they're getting smart at figuring out, especially when they get in a bind. And just, man, give it to that kid and just let him do his thing.
Brian on Twitter says, nobody wants to talk about the damn Cubs. Get that Cubs shite out of here. Big Orange Bush says, is this a Cubs show? Press on.
Hell with
Big Nate says, drunk callers are the best callers, even Cubs fans. Jonathan Kay says, I'm dying to call in, but I lost my voice, too. I wanted to call in the football finals, but didn't for the same reason. Hey, Jonathan, nobody gives a damn about football finals, whatever that is. Big Orange Butch says, does that dude know that he's on air? Terry Stowe says, cut that dude off, brah. He goes, he's awful. Jeff Beano Henderson said, now that is next level, cutting off a Cubs fan. I don't think the baseball talk went over too well.
Friggin' baseball, man. Who cares? Bunch of roided out freaks. Game's probably fixed anyway.
Back to the phones we go. Jack Jones, by the way, I've decided, Dubsy, is so much cooler than Jack White. I think Jack White is one of the fakest musicians to ever live. I think he's terrible. I think he sucks. I think his music's awful.
Oh, no, man.
I think his sister's terrible.
I think all of...
anyway...
A lot of it's bad. The Elephant by the White Stripes, one of the greatest rock albums of the last 10, 15 years.
Awful.
Great
awful
album.
Jack Jones is so much cooler than Jack White. He looks like him, except he's kind of a puffed-up version of Jack White, and he looks like he's seen the sun. Jack White, on the other hand, sucks. Back to the phones we go. Let's get our next call in, and I can say that because
he's overrated.
Smart Way Dalton Bearing Hydraulic fifth quarter fan reaction, and we're bringing it at you, ladies and gentlemen. And I want to thank our friends here at Smart Way Dalton Bearing and Hydraulics, also First Mortgage Lenders, Tennessee Sports Medicine Group, my friends at Cazzy's, where we will be for the Alabama game, First Mortgage Lenders, Fairways and Greens, Russell Smith from 94.3. Knox Talk Radio, who did not hand out 7,000 promotional pieces on UT's campus today like my street team did.
No, I did not.
How many did your street team hand out? Dubsy.
I'll have to get back and study the analytics and get back with you on that.
The answer is none. Jerry Colquitt joining me from the Great Northwest, a.k.a. FEMA Region 10 in the North
America. I appreciate your crack staff of interns, though, getting out there and promoting that. That's solid.
North American Union is what we're calling our configuration of states right now, along with Canada and Mexico. Let's go back to our phones and get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
What's up, guys? Roberto.
Hey, buddy. Welcome in.
Got a few things for you. First of all, no more baseball talk, but it's nice to see my Cubs winning in the playoffs.
If you mention your Cubs again, it's going to be short-lived.
That was it. That was the last one, I promise. Does U.S.-Mexico count, Tony?
Please don't do that. You'll really get me hazed in cyberspace.
I wanted to just kind of give you a fan's perspective from inside the stadium. I haven't heard many people actually who went to the game. First of all, Big Orange Bush is dead on. I looked at my wife and I go, damn, it's loud in here. Like, you could feel it was palatable. It was really weird. You could feel it growing. And maybe one of the reasons Bush maybe didn't give the fans as much credit as some people have said he did is just because for the first half, we were just kind of there. And then all of a sudden, right towards the end of the first half, obviously we made our run, I went, we're getting ready to win. And then, you know, it just kept building and building, and they got the steamroll. And that last series when Georgia had the ball, even though we let them make a lot of plays, clearly we made them, we made Grayson Lambert look serviceable at times tonight. It was wild in there. It was fun. But that's the most fun I've had at a game in a long, long time. I will say I actually probably had as much fun at the Oklahoma game, but the end result sucked. But I'm as tired as I was after the Oklahoma game, except I'm not miserable. So I don't want to just go to bed. I want to sit here and listen to you guys, you know, be excited all night. I want to hit a few quick things. Number one, guys, as far as the coaching tonight, I thought the coordinators actually called a pretty good game all around. And I think the players made some plays. But, guys, if we had let Dobbs play like that, and I know, Tony, you said he was hurt against Arkansas, and I don't know if we were winning that game anyways, the way they play versus the way we play.
Not hurt, not hurt, beat up, not hurt.
Okay,
I mean,
okay,
hurting,
okay,
beat up, you know what I mean? Kind of like you take a beating in a game like that.
Okay, but if we let him just play like that the entire Oklahoma game, we have that win, right? We win that game.
Yeah, yes.
They suck. They got beat by Texas today. But it gave me pause in that I have tickets to the Alabama game in 2 weeks, and I was thinking about not going. But tonight makes me want to go, and I've been really, really hard on Butch. I thought he actually coached a pretty decent game, and you and I are going to disagree on something, Tony. I know you wanted him to go for it on fourth and, you know, 12 inches or whatever it was from his own 43 of a touchdown with 2 minutes to go. But you have the best punter in college. You could argue that we have the best punter in college football right now. You can really make that argument and make it stick. And he knocked it on the 4-inch line. And I know, I'm with you, but when he trotted out there like he was going to go for it, I was like, is this just the reverse of feel that we were talking about? Like, I was like, why are you doing this? Just punt the ball. And because our defense played pretty well. I hated what I saw with Nick Chubb, and I've heard hopefully maybe that he's not as bad off as he was. That's good to hear. But I wanted to hit two things. Guys, Josh Smith is the unsung hero along with the two freshman offensive linemen tonight. And I know I'm going to stump for my guy. He went to my high school. He's a white kid that gets no count. But that fourth down touchdown reception he made was a hell of a football play.
Hey, Jerry Colquitt, let me ask you something. Big Will tells me that he thinks Josh Smith is the best receiver on our football team. Your thoughts on Josh Smith, Jerry?
I wouldn't necessarily disagree with that. I mean, to me... I like Josh Smith from the first time he hit campus, and to me, he's been very steady. At times, you know, there's been games we haven't had a whole lot of successes. And there's been times over the last couple of years when it's either been him or Pig Howard being the only two wide receivers out there really making plays. So to me, I'm glad this call came in because it reminds me of some of the earlier discussions we had in the fifth quarter sessions there. Where it just looked like some of the guys who've been on campus just can't get in a rhythm when, these are some of our best wide receivers. So, you know, the fact that we saw him make that play tonight, to me, I thought was really nice. It was well deserved by him. And he's just one of these guys where to me, he's earned the right, to me, and he's probably one of these guys who just, they haven't really invested in him enough, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
He's one of these kids who you can almost build, you know, your passing game around. You know, you see it kind of how they do with the running game and Hurd. Obviously now they also go to Dobbs a bit in running game. Well, to me, why, you know, if Pig Howard isn't that guy, why couldn't you kind of center your passing game around, a Josh Smith to just get him his touches? Just to get him going. I really love that kid.
One other thing for you, Jerry, and then Roberto, I'll let you finish up. But
yes, sir.
That final series, Jerry, Tennessee's got the ball, their own 43, 44-yard line. I say you take the ball there. You got an inch to go, an inch, literally fourth and 2 inches. I know it's kind of unsound and you're gambling, but I say you're a losing football team. Your defense has given it up late, and you know what? They gave him a couple shots at the end zone late. I say there, you put your quarterback under center, and you go behind, you fire off, and you go behind those two freshman offensive linemen who have owned the day, and say, we're going to put this game away right now. Am I wrong, Jerry? Is that unsound?
No, not necessarily. I mean, again, Jalen Hurd, he's worth, at the contact, he's worth 2 to 3 more yards. So, I would feel totally safe in going to a kid like him in that situation, especially in that down and distance.
I'd give it to the quarterback. Just give do a sneak.
Yeah.
But am I wrong for saying I would have gone there? Because there seems to be some real dispute. This is the one thing I like about doing a show like this is that we can agree to disagree, and I don't think there's a right answer. Obviously, what Tennessee did worked out. It bears talking about because it's interesting, as Roberto said, the way they managed the game tonight. They did some things differently, and they did some conservative kind of things like the rushing three and giving that kid a lane to throw the ball into, Roberto, on 4th and 14 is just stupid.
God,
I mean, I don't know.
They
got down to the 22-yard line.
I'm crazy, though, I guess. I would bring five and make that kid beat you.
Or six or seven.
As opposed to let his wide receivers.
Yeah.
His wide receivers beat you. He didn't beat you. That kid's terrible.
You're going to let that all-world receiver sit down in front of two guys 14, 15 yards down the field. If you give him enough time and give him a clean pocket, they're going to make that play every single time. Every time.
Hey, Tony, are you totally serious that Tony Robinson's nephew is number 81?
That is his nephew. That kid's his nephew.
That kid is a flat-out football player.
Absolutely. Tony was telling me about him before the game. He glides before he runs. The whole deal,
awesome.
Man.
He's good on him. I wish him the best. I'm glad he's not on our schedule anymore because he lit us up tonight. He had the punt return. He had a big touchdown. He had two touchdowns receiving.
He had two touchdowns. Well, he had the one touchdown with the punt return, and then he dropped that bomb that was right in his hands, which could have probably turned the game for them.
Thank God he dropped it. That would have been awful for us to lose that way. Guys, is there any way, and by the way, I want to say one more thing about the offensive linemen. I love those freshmen. They got some dog, as Big Will would say. They're mean, man. They want to spit in your eye when they hit you in the face. I love it. I want to see more of that. That's what we need on the offensive line. I still agree with Jerry. We've got to get somebody in the backfield to plant somebody that's coming through the middle to make tackles. But can you imagine Jalen Hurd? Jalen Hurd in the NFL is going to be unbelievable because he's going to have a lead blocker. Him with a lead blocker is a load, son. What he did to number 9 tonight on the little play out of the backfield is criminal. That was unbelievable.
Unbelievable, guys.
Poor kid.
He truck-sticked that kid.
Oh,
well, guys, I really can't. I can't be too negative today. I'm going to be positive because I'm glad we won. But
there are things to learn from. We can talk about that.
There's a lot to work on.
Sure,
there's a lot to work on.
You know, and that's the great thing. I think I saw them learn from some things, right? And I'll tell you this right now. I mean this when I say this. You can't go on the under the pistol or play the pistol on the goal line.
Yes.
Put that crap away. That's Cincinnati football. That's not Southeastern Conference football. That's not big boy football. That's not going to work at this level. It's just not. It might have worked in Cincinnati. It might have worked against Temple. It is not going to work at this level. And they can hope it and wish it and pray it. And DeBoer knows that. He coached at Michigan. He knows that. Put a damn fullback out there. Take that Ellis kid and put him out there. Put one out there. Line up in the eye. Put your quarterback under the center. Run the football and get a touchdown there. Or you take your quarterback and put him on the perimeter and let him run around the edge and throw the ball to Kamara like they did later on. But don't do that. Don't do that stupid nonsense. That's nonsense.
Well, they got Kamara involved today. They got Dobbs out of the pocket. I love Butch said that we threw a few wrinkles, but it didn't change much. I don't know. I couldn't say that you didn't change much. It looked like an entirely different game to me. And if Dobbs goes for 300, 100, we're going to win a whole lot of football games with him at quarterback. I know everybody's on Dormady, and that's okay. And a few plays don't go our way, and you may have seen him today. But Josh Dobbs played one hell of a football game. He gave everything he had today. And as a fan, nothing makes me happier. And at the end of the game, I got a little bit emotional because those kids watching the football players celebrate with their classmates at Tennessee made me so happy because it reminded me of when I was in school and we were really, really good at football and what it was like when we won games. Guys, have a great one.
Makes you feel young again, right, Jerry, when you see those kids out there?
Oh, man. I mean, I can remember my first big win at home. It was my redshirt freshman year. We played Florida at home. Steve Spurrier's first year in the conference, and we beat those suckers 45-3 at home. And you know, it was Vaughn Reeves on a reverse pass to Carl Pickens, big play. It was Reggie Ingram on that pick six. He ran that thing back. I mean, that crowd was rocking him. And the thing about it is you never forget those times because you'll celebrate. Well, the coaches will tell you not to. They tell you got to get on with it, but you're going to celebrate the whole week. And it's those type of games that, especially those home games, that you'll never forget in your whole life.
Unbelievable, Andy Mack. And those are the experiences that'll stick with you. And that's what, you know, you taught me something, Jerry, early on. You said football's the game itself is the time to go out and have fun. You put on all the work. You told me that when I was first getting to know you. And you said the great coaches are the ones that tell you that. Hey, we're going to work during the week. This is not work when we play this game. This is joy. We're going to play this with joy. We're going to play this with purpose. And when we're in our building, we're going to defend our home field, and we're going to have some memories when we walk out of here. And today, those kids will always have that memory. Those kids that are over there, those students that are over there, I'll never forget. My wife, who's upstairs right now, beautiful as she wants to be, she is a beautiful little co-ed, and I'm a big old, big nose, big mouth kid from the Philadelphia area. And
Arnold
we run
Horseshack.
Do what?
Arnold Horseshack.
It's not necessary. And we run onto that field after the... Don't chortle, Jerry, on my time. And we run onto that field after the 89 Auburn game when Reggie Cobb and Chuck Webb ran all over Pat Dye. And we came back, and we carried the goalpost down Cumberland Avenue into the last lap. I mean, you just never forget stuff like that. The thing I can still remember, though, Jerry, is helping her by the hand up over the little fence there onto the field, and we run onto the field. I'll never forget that. I mean, I could live to be 300 years old. I mean, it makes you misty-eyed. It matters to win those games. You got to give your fans and your kids, you got to hook them when they're in school. And when you suck and you never win a damn home game that matters, I mean, beating Western Carolina isn't going to hook anybody. It's just not. It's like fishing with a lame minnow on the end of your line. You're not going to get anybody. You need some really good live bait.
Yeah, I remember that same game. It was an unofficial visit, me and my best friend from Oak Ridge, Scott Thompson. We had tickets, and we stood over there, man. We did the whole pregame stuff over at Gibbs Hall, over at the complex, the football complex. I mean, we were just soaked. And I remember I had on these leather shoes, man, and my dog was just killing me, man, because, like, between the leather and walking all the way down there for ball walk and then having to walk back, my feet were just hurting so bad in that rain. And those sorry leather shoes I had on.
Yep, you had the sorry leather shoes in the rain.
We had so much fun, though, and he still talks about that to this day. We stayed on campus at his sister's apartment over there on campus. I mean, it's just, you never forget that. And I can just remember being in that locker room after that Auburn game. It's those things that sell you, man. If I would never played a down of football in college, I knew I would have wanted to go to UT just because of stuff like that.
And that's the deal. And there were a ton of huge prospects, Russell, on that campus today.
Yep.
Should we name some of them? I mean, just if you wanna think about some of the guys that were there today. You had five-star Mecole Hardman there. Mecole, number one athlete in the country. Five-star Derek Brown out of Georgia.
Ooh.
Number one prospect in the state of Georgia.
Five-star defensive lineman out of Georgia. Sees Tennessee beat Georgia in Knoxville. I'll take that.
Five-star Kyle Davis, number one wide receiver out of Archer, Georgia. D'Angelo Gibbs, five-star, Georgia's number one prospect, 2017.
That's it. That's just good foot. You know, a kid named D'Angelo Gibbs, that's
he play,
a football
he can play.
Name. Oh, yeah.
I'm off for him. I don't care what his video is. No.
Yeah.
Five-star Trevor Lawrence, number one prospect and quarterback in 2018 out of Cartersville, who looks like a young Kenny the Snake Stabler. The guy is so next-level looking. You need to look him up online, Jeremiah Colquitt. You'll sheep out for him. Four-star Marquez Callaway, 2016 receiver out of Warner Robins, Georgia. Four-star Nigel Warrior.
Dale Carter.
Son of Dale Carter out of Peachtree Ridge, Georgia. Nigel Warrior is the son, is his son's name. Mighty Nigel Warrior. Mighty Warrior Hiawatha. Mighty